At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Kevin Samuels told the truth. Hold up, let me finish.
You are pandering to a group of women.
Everybody panders.
What?
That shit ain't for me.
You faced a lot of backlash.
Questioning my sexuality.
They're eating you up.
I've fucked some people over, some people fucked me over.
You do offer very strong opinions.
Some of y'all need therapy.
I done put some people through the ringer.
That was corny as fuck.
You've had some cast members exit.
Certain things that were said were untrue.
My experience was very different.
If it's juicy enough, if it's salacious enough, in 24 hours or 72 hours, it can be everywhere.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins. I am Donnie Wiggins. I am your favorite business coach. How do I know I'm your favorite business coach? Because that's what y'all be telling me in the comments. That's what y'all say in the comments. So I own it. I'm your favorite business coach. And on Full Transparency, we have outstanding conversations, sometimes just you and me, about business. And then sometimes I bring some of my entrepreneur friends and people that I'm just getting to know on the platform to talk about them and get all in their business and business. And we're about to do it today with a really great friend of mine that I'm having here for the second time in under a year, because we got a lot to talk about. You got some new stuff happening and I cannot wait to have you guys introduce you guys again to Ace Metaphor.
What up?
What up, Ace?
Nothing much. How are you? That was excellent intro. How do you practice it in the mirror?
I don't practice it.
Okay, that was pretty nice.
So, I mean, technically, we've got the display screens all around us, so this is technically very mirror-esque.
When you doing your pod, do you look at yourself when you talk?
Yeah. So usually you're my second guest that I've had on this set. Usually, I'm sitting like in the middle, and the camera, my screen is right behind the camera, so I'd be looking. And Zell tries to remind me often to like look at the camera and not myself, but. Do you look at yourself? Your screens are turned around on your set.
Yeah, but my screen is right in front of me when I'm doing mine. But I look at the camera. But some people look at themselves.
Yeah, because it's
you strike me as I look at myselfer.
All right.
Just the position of your monitor, you're a look at yourselfer.
I'm a look at myselfer, but this is because we're on Instagram Live on this monitor. Okay. I want you to be able to see yourself. It's in the middle.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's get to work. Mm-hmm. So you've built a really powerful brand through tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're about to talk about a whole lot of stuff. But what I want to start with was, because there's so many people who are in the space, everybody wants a podcast, they want a talk show, they want to start in media and do all the things. With tonight's conversation, go back to the old days. What was the original vision for tonight's conversation?
The original vision wasn't... tonight's conversation. So if we go back to the old days, I had started doing poetry. So Ace Metaphor comes from poetry. And then I had started to openly vlog on Facebook in about 2015. And that was a time where algorithm free time, you know what I'm saying? You used to post something, people used to watch it.
They saw it.
And so like when you had millions of followers on Facebook, that used to mean something, right? And so I used to do that. And so we got together, myself, Jay Martinez, Tripp Fontaine. This is probably 2017. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him, I'm like, yo, we should do a tour. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What are we going to talk about? I don't fucking know.
Y'all were all poets, though, right?
We were all poets, okay. But because my platform had blew up on just motivational speaking, me talking about finding my future wife at the time. So I used to do that. So my first tour was called the Future Wife Tour. Now, certain things I look back on, and I'd be like, that was corny as fuck. But because first of all, I was like 27.
Wait,
when a tour
were
called.
Women showing up, like auditioning themselves?
No,
to be your
it was
wife?
Just, it was the premise of it because I always do videos like, you know how Dimitri would be like, you know, I'm looking for Mrs. Wiley, yeah. That type of thing.
Yeah.
So it was always like, it was the dear future wife. And then it was like an open poem, you know what I'm saying? Because I started as a poet. Mm-hmm. So the original vision, was just to do shows and just to have people show up. Mm-hmm. That first season of touring, we didn't have cameras. I mean, we would have like 125 people coming. Jay would do a segment on poetry. Tripp Fontaine would do poetry. And then I would do question and answers with the audience. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got sharp with being able to answer question and answers.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole show. Yeah. At some point I thought about, and you're going to have to stop me, I get talkative. At some point I thought about writing down a speech so that I could give the same little lecture at every stop. Mm-hmm. But then I figured out real early, that shit ain't for me. So I liked every room feeling different. Mm-hmm. So that was the original vision. And then we went into 2018. 2019, I had to do Don't Waste My Time tour. Then I went into the Self-Love Summit that same year, and I did it with Derek Jackson and Stefan Speaks. Mm-hmm. So the original vision predates tonight's conversation. I've mm-hmm. always been like a live performer. I've yeah. always been impromptu shows, question mm-hmm. and answer shows. It just so happened when we created the card game in 2020, tonight's conversation became a thing because yeah. people was buying the cards. I tell this story to anybody that cares to listen. I never thought people were going to buy those cards like that. You know what I'm saying? It was just something that was going to sit on my website, and hopefully they added it to the cart because it was like a deal. Hey, get this extra card game if you spend over whatever, whatever. But we ended up selling like 5,000 in 2 days, and I knew tonight's conversation was a thing. Mm. Then we get to the ads for tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. It would be
like paid ads on Facebook.
Yeah, paid ads on Facebook. It would be a couple sitting talking about the cards. I mean, discussing the cards.
I remember, though. That's how I showed you. I think I showed you my receipt, like an email from years ago, having those cards.
So
I didn't put some people through the ringer with these cards.
These cards, yeah, I know.
For sure. Absolutely. The cards, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. The Tonight's Conversation cards, they're still on the platform, right?
Yeah.
The Tonight's Conversation cards, I know you have so many series right now, mm-hmm. but that date night, the first date questions, mm-hmm. and it was like couples, mm-hmm. the couples edition. If you are bad at having hard conversations with your potential love interest or your significant other, get the cards because they get the job done.
So what happened was, so we would have ads run with people playing the cards, and everybody used to be like, yo, where can we watch the full episodes? Mm-hmm. So that was the thing people would say in the comments over and over and over and over again. Around that same time, I did a tour with the cards, featuring the cards, called Tonight's Conversation, Love, Sex, and Relationships. And it was myself, Keita Rose, TC from Houston, K-Love the Poet, Jay Martinez. Mm-hmm. And so we sat and we would just do the cards in front of an audience. That's how we got to tonight's conversation.
Yeah. So y'all would set up, do live shows, just playing the cards and asking questions.
Yes.
Or answering questions.
But by that time, I had a card game called Relationship Debates.
Okay.
So we would put it on the screen, and then we would just go back and forth debating the cards.
Okay.
And so then the podcast jumped off, I believe, 2022, mm-hmm. January 2022. And then that's probably what everybody knows.
Got you.
From there. Yeah.
So this brand has evolved over time. And I wanted to go back to the original vision and how it started, because mm-hmm. in the relationship space, especially. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't know, I started off in the relationship mm-hmm. space. I used to do this event called Single in the City. And mm-hmm. we do like this networking, dating mixer mm-hmm. and all the things. But right now, you know, on the internet, when you start talking about dating and you offer any opinion, people think that you're trying to be a relationship expert versus you're just sharing your own opinion. I can share my opinions. You don't have to listen to this stuff.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
I ain't never once called myself a relationship expert, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Now, I talk about relationships, but I always, and this is just, I love now in 2025 because there's a term for it. When I first started, it wasn't a term for it. So everybody used to just say relationship guru. Donnie, I'm a podcast bro. I'm a podcast bro. So listen, I want you to understand, I podcast, I talk about my opinions. You gonna come and get a nugget or two. Hopefully I make you laugh. But I don't want, I'm not replacing your therapist. Some of y'all need therapy, okay?
Therapy. To that point, though,
therapy.
While tonight's conversation, and people don't understand, you have two shows. You have Ace Metaphor, uh-huh. and then you have tonight's conversation. Yeah. While they're both highly entertaining shows, right? Mm-hmm. The truth is you do offer very strong opinions mm-hmm. about relationships. And it's entertaining on mm-hmm. one hand. People love it. You got the ladies in the comments. They're like, I knew it. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But then you have the other perspective of people who are like, who's this guy? He's single. He's giving relationship advice. Mm-hmm. And they're eating you up like they do everybody else in the comments who's mm-hmm. in this relationship space. They don't like hearing from the relationship podcast bros. Everybody's like, take the mic away. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about it because they could have just ignored the video and that would have been worse. Mm-hmm. Like anytime somebody comment on in a negative way or they say this or they say that or they put this on or put that on, it is still you engaging. And that's the overall point. Like you got to think, I'm in a unique perspective where, okay, I am a talent, but I'm also a producer. You feel what I'm saying? So uniquely, I have to say, okay, it's not always about getting positive recognition. It's about making someone feel something. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. When you are too safe, nobody feels anything. Nobody comments positively. Nobody comments negatively. Nobody notices that video. It just doesn't stand out. You don't say anything impactful. You don't catch nobody's attention. Mm-hmm. And so when you are unique in a sense, so much so that your personality is polarizing, you're gonna have positive and negative feelings. For example, and then it's people are listening through their ears. I got a video right now going viral with Cam, and I start by saying this specific word, I said, a lot of heterosexual men don't like women for real. They like them sexually, but they don't like the essence of what a woman is outside of what they can do for them sexually. Mm. Now here's the thing. I said a lot.
Not all.
Not all, not most.
Not every.
But what happens is you have people that listen with certain ears.
Yeah.
They're going to perceive it a certain type of way. And they're going to debate and say most. They're going to say this. And I used to, back in the day, go back in the comment section and be trying to correct people. But I don't know more. You know why? Because I love our comment section being a place where people can debate. They can have their own free thought there. And I don't never want to police that on any platform I'm on. Mm-hmm. So typically, I keep negative comments up if they're there. And then I do appreciate that because this is going to sound unique. Ever since the Tonight's Conversation portion took off, I feel like people view us as characters on a show.
Congratulations, entrepreneur. You made the decision that this will be your biggest and best year ever in business. And I am so excited for you. It's just that you're missing something. The accountability and the mentorship that you said you need, the accountability and the mentorship that you said you were going to get this year. I know you're missing it because I'm not mentoring you inside of my community, Actionable CEO. I see everybody else. I'm looking through the names as I speak right now, and I'm seeing all the names, but I don't see yours. See, Actionable CEOs have something in common. They have three things in common, in fact. They are disciplined. They are action takers. They invest in themselves. But my favorite one is that they are action takers. Oh, wait, no. My favorite one could be that they're disciplined. It could also very much be that they invest in themselves. See, you can't do one without the other if you want major results. So I'm inviting you to check out my community, my mentorship community for entrepreneurs who are interested in personal development, professional development, and financial development. And you want to have a whole lot of fun connecting with other people in the community to network with. If I'm your girl, if I'm your person, if I'm your vibe, check out actionableceo.com right now to see if my mentorship community is the right one for you. In fact, I know it is. So just go there and hit register, join now, whatever. I'll see you on the inside. Bye. I see that.
So the hate isn't real hate. It just, I don't like Ace, but that's not them saying they don't like Tony.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And yeah. I have to give people that space. Because here's the thing. Some of my biggest critics, I've met them in person. And they, yo, I love what you do, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. It's just there now. Their internet persona is being red pill or this, that, and the other. So mm-hmm. I don't really have a problem with it.
It brings me to an interesting point, though, mm-hmm. because you are, in this case, you're a creator mm-hmm. of tonight's conversation, but you're also a cast member or talent mm-hmm. on the show, meaning you contribute to it, right? But yeah. the brand has, I imagine, grown further than you ever imagined it would grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you handle being a creator, talent, but really managing a brand that's grown bigger than you?
Mm-hmm. How do I handle it?
Yeah, like how do you manage that? So here's the thing. Here, okay. let me reframe
it. I got you.
You got me?
Yeah. The talent working part is nothing new. I've okay. always done that. So when we go back to 2017, we go back to I'm now driving a transit van. It's my turn to drive from Tampa to Miami. Mm-hmm. So I'm now driving a transit van. Then I'm now setting up speakers and uncoiling XLRs and plugging it here. And I'm also scanning tickets. And I'm also helping people sit. Mm-hmm. And I'm also putting up our little banner. And then we're also performing. And then I'm breaking down and we're doing it the same. I've always done it. Like, I've always worked the same day and performed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always say this to people. The performing aspect, I'm going to catch some flack for saying this.
Okay.
It's the easiest portion.
The performance aspect is the easiest.
Getting
portion.
In front of a crowd and speaking and entertaining them is the easiest portion of it.
Okay.
Period. The harder portion, in my opinion, from being both of it, is that behind the scenes, that organizer, keeping the show, that producer wrote, that part is difficult. The promotion part, everything else. So I always say whenever it's time for me to get on stage, that's my vacation.
Mm.
Because everything else, people be like, do you get nervous for the shows? Not the performance of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I get nervous of whether we got enough VIP seats for the VIP people. Mm-hmm. I get nervous about whether or not the sound can be heard in the back of the venue. That part is what I get nervous about. I get nervous about whether there's going to be enough valet parking, or is the parking good enough, or this, that, and other, or is it going to rain? But as far as performing, that part has always been easy because you can just sit down and talk. You know what I'm saying? Especially if that is your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, my skill set is talkative entertaining. I never had to put work in there. Everything else is what I had to put in the work.
Yeah.
I had to put in the work to be able to post consistently. I had to put in the work to learn Facebook ads. I had to put in the work to have the balls to invest all of your money multiple different times. Donnie, I done went all in on this thing like 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
Let's stay there for a second because mm-hmm. your podcast is one of the most successful podcasts mm-hmm. in the relationship space. Mm-hmm. You chose to go the route. You're not on YouTube putting shows on mm-hmm. YouTube. You have a paid community
yeah.
where people subscribe to come mm-hmm. in. You got thousands of members mm-hmm. in this community. But it can appear easy, or it can appear to some people like luck, or sometimes people say, oh, but that's just him. He has the personality for it, or he has a million followers. It wasn't always that, though.
Mm-hmm.
What does the work actually look like to put you in a position where you earned the success of tonight's conversation?
Hmm. Yeah, I remember. So you have multiple different sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of it goes hand in hand, though.
Okay.
Right. The work is getting off of work. I lived in Dayton, Ohio, so we talking about it would be freezing sometimes.
Okay.
Getting off of work in the winter. And my goal was, I don't go home until I make a video. Like, from that work, walk home from my job to in my house. And it's a 5-minute walk. And people, if you OG Ace Metaphor fans, you remember me doing these videos in my scrubs, right? And it was times I would.
You were a nurse?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be times I'd be out there an hour. I couldn't feel my fingers because I couldn't get the video right. But it's a metaphor for that's what you have to do when you are the leader or the entrepreneur in that space. Sometimes you don't get to take a break until it's done. You don't get the clock out until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more you have that outlook, right? Because when you're doing your own tours, let me tell you this. To specifically answer your question, people know. People know, they act like they don't know. Like, I don't want to shoot people bail. People know it's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know how I know they know it's not easy? Because they'll put hours into their content. They'll post it. And it'll get 15 views, and they'll know the disappointment of feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. They'll know how difficult it must be for somebody to post something and they get 1,000 likes because they do it and they only get 10. They know it.
Yeah.
What happens is people want to discredit. They want to say, you know what, because it hasn't worked for me, I want to tear this person down. Mm-hmm. There's no way somebody can look at something somebody has built, whether you agree with them or not, and say, that shit was easy.
Mm.
There is very few people, unless you just had a silver spoon growing up, is very few people that are self-made that it came easy to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can get into this, all my struggle story, but they know.
Yeah.
My biggest thing now is not paying attention to the people that want to discredit, want to say it's only because of this, that, and the other, when you know it's not.
Okay.
First of all, let me look at this camera. People will sit up there and say, well, of course you can make money. You made $1 million pandering off of people. I would say if that was a way to make $1 million and you didn't do it, that means you're unintelligent. If all you had to do was sit there and pander to somebody and then people just gave you $1 million, everybody would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many people pandering to people, whether it's a man pandering to a woman, a sportscaster pandering to a sports fan's base, business coach, people do it.
But that okay.
Hold up, let me finish. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. So I just feel like there's a discrediting that happens when somebody is doing something somebody secretly wants to be able to do for themselves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to look up
uh-huh.
the word pander,
mm-hmm.
right?
Politicians pander, everybody mm-hmm. panders.
Mm-hmm. So it says pandering to someone means to do or provide exactly what a person or group wants. So basically, in this case,
mm-hmm.
you are pandering to a group of women who want to hear a male's perspective, or at least your perspective, about relationships. Would that be accurate? Because pandering is a strong word, and it's thrown around a lot.
Yes, it would be accurate to say that there is some interpretation that anybody speaking to a specific group in service can be interpreted as pandering.
Mm-hmm.
I say it not in a dictionary definition, because the dictionary definition is one thing, but we know what people mean when they say it.
Yeah.
What they say is, when they say pandering, they mean you don't believe that. You're just saying this for financial gain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they really mean on the internet when they're saying it. But what I'm saying is, whether or not that was true or not, if you think that the only reason I'm successful is because I pander, why don't you do it and you become successful?
Mm.
You want to make it seem like because you have higher integrity than me, that's the reason you're not successful.
Well, do you really have low integrity?
No, this is the mindset that some of these people will have.
It's like, you know what?
The only reason I'm not is because I have integrity and I would tell the truth, and because I tell the truth. But then it's like, okay, well, Kevin Samuels told the truth and he was big and he blew up. So why don't you?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even just in that space. I mm-hmm. get it as well, like mm-hmm. as a business coach, right?
Yeah.
Well, the only reason she's successful is because she has a course, or the only reason she's successful is because she coaches people. She doesn't even have a business mm-hmm. as if what I do doesn't have to operate mm-hmm. in the realm of a business, but also mm-hmm. my results of, and the testimonies of the people that I've helped make hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. and millions of dollars, like it means nothing. Sometimes there will be that audience of people. So I feel you that instead of getting up and trying to do something great for themselves, they'll have to find the negative, the gotcha moment in what you have going on.
But it's what I signed up for. It's what people who got what they wanted
mm-hmm.
signed up for. There's always some fine print.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not me chastising or trying to come down on anybody. It's
yeah.
just me also saying this is part of the process. There are more people that will understand an employee mindset than an entrepreneur mindset,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm. And we signed up for the court of public opinion.
And also, like, I used to have that mindset. Like, before I was on the other side of things, I used to have that mind. I would look at other people and I'd be like, man, especially even in the poetry community, man, he ain't even that sweet. But yet, he's selling out shows. Like, how the fuck? He ain't even that. And then you understand, like, that
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. There are things that that person is doing that you don't see. If you can't see why they're successful, and in your heart you'd be like, I don't even see why she's successful. It's because it's stuff she's doing that's that you don't see, right? So that's the premise of that.
On the other side of it, though, not only do you face scrutiny from the onlookers who are watching, right? Who usually are actually fans. They for the video to come out. We can't ignore the fact that recently there was a very public moment where you faced a lot of backlash. You've had some cast members exit the...
I don't like that term.
What would the term be?
Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Okay. So what I was going to say is that you faced some backlash around cast members exiting, questions about your leadership. And it was a tough season. I know because I'm your friend in real life. I know that it was a tough season. But tell us, what did that season really look like for you behind the scenes?
It was difficult, for real. It was difficult. It was difficult on a sense of... on a sense of knowing, not knowing how things were going to turn out, not knowing whether or not I can continue to work, I can continue to provide for the people around me, that a lot of things that I've invested in and worked for could be jeopardized. It's easy to say now in hindsight that maybe I over-worried or this, that, and other, but Donnie, to be real with you, and I speak to these cameras, I mean, I lost millions of dollars in revenue. It hurt. It was harmful to me, but not just to me, but to the people that work for me, the other cast members that still stayed. So it was very difficult. And what you try to do is just try to keep the ship afloat. The best thing about the internet is you can do one dope thing and in 24 hours, everybody can know about that dope thing you did.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part about the internet is somebody can say something that, I'm not talking about a specific situation, but may or may not be true. But if it's juicy enough, if it's salacious enough, in 24 hours or 72 hours, it can be everywhere. And then we go back to people don't see you as a real person no more. They see you as a character. So now when your life is a viral podcast moment for 3-4 weeks and the think pieces on information that people don't even care to double check and or verify, then now it becomes something that's difficult. So it's like the only thing I can say is like there were dark moments for me. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like I'm like stupid. Like I was unfazed. I was. I'm still dealing with some of the consequences of the defaming. I'm gonna just say that. But throughout the season, I've learned like, stay true to your core values. Stay true to the work. And then I was so happy that people supported me. Like, although I didn't have to get on the internet and say, man, it was only this. When the majority of the cast members came back in April and we were able to shoot another season. When the majority of the cast members came back and we were going back on tour, and I didn't necessarily need the internet at the moment to have my back. I needed the people that were there in the rooms, that was there on the tours, that was there when we was recording, that know what was going on. I needed them to show me support. I didn't need them to post about it. I needed them to say, you know what, we still rocking with you. And that's why I appreciate each and every one of the people that came, because it's like, I know y'all know what happened.
Yeah.
I know everybody know the truth, you know, that we're in the rooms on a chore, but man, it was so toxic.
Well,
and let me say this. Let me just say this. It was so toxic at the time that I could have understood a person coming to me and saying, bro, I know this and another, but right now I got to step away because this is toxic. I could have understood that.
Yeah.
And nobody decided to do that. So that was one thing that kept me going in this situation.
Yeah. I live by a principle that I live by, and usually it's right. You know, obviously everything's not perfect, and maybe these cast members that you're referencing who stayed and had your back feel the same way. I believe a lot of people had an opportunity or made a decision to stay based on their experience.
I agree.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not necessarily that people are picking sides or doing it. It's like my experience was very different, right? It's no secret that I was on the cast of tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. I've appeared on some shows. I'm in upcoming shows. Mm-hmm. And I was asked many questions like, are you going to do that show again? And blah, 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 blah. And you and I have built an actual platonic friendship over the last several months. Emphasis on platonic, because that goes crazy. We've built a platonic friendship over the last several months. And when I was asked my thoughts, and even, you know, transparently, like with some new cast members that you invited to come to the new season, like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, hey, I can't give you any more than what my experience was. And this was my experience. Mm-hmm. In my experience, granted, I was only there for a short period of time and we're growing the relationship, extremely professional. Your assistant, Natasha, is incredibly intimidating to me because she wants what she wants, what she wants, what she wants right now, all right? I remember Natasha actually reaching out to me to remind me to submit for my payment, right? So you perform and then we got to submit you an invoice and you pay it. And the first couple of times she had to like literally, she's texting me like, Donnie, send the invoice so we can pay. Send the invoice so we can pay. And when I sent the invoice, I had my payment literally maybe the same day, no later than the next day. And that was the side of the experience that I shared. And even the cast members that I got to work with, some of which are no longer there, everybody was great, you know, to me at that time. It was, and that's really all I can take from it. You use the word defamed. Do you really in your heart believe that you were defamed? And there's a two-part question here. Do you believe that you were defamed? And do you believe now in hindsight that there's elements that you needed to take accountability for?
There's multiple parts of that, right?
Okay.
Because there's a novel of things that were said.
Gotcha.
So our reference point can be different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about, you know, obviously when we talk about financial stuff, the records stated, I don't even have to say that I feel I was. Like the records of payment, the records of contracts, all of that states it clearly that certain things that were said were untrue about me. But then when we get into certain things, like when you say, is there some things that I can take accountability about? When we get into certain things where it was questioning my sexuality, when it was talking about my family members, when we're talking about abuse that I experienced as a minor, clearly defaming things. These are things that never happened. Now, when we get into some of the things that I can take accountability for, when you talk about leadership or when you talk about the workplace environment, these are separate conversations, obviously. And these are separate conversations that we are having. We're tightening up things on a contract. We've always had people in place. Like, for example, whenever there was conflict within tonight's conversation, me and another person would go talk to. I would never have conversations by myself with people. You know,
is it because they're women or?
For situations, you have to have another person there so that somebody can't say something that was said that wasn't said, et cetera, et cetera. So whenever there was conflict, whenever there was a time that something that happened on stage that didn't happen correctly or this, that, and another, I would always bring, we have an artist, a liaison person, and me and that person would handle it if I needed to be involved at all. And mm-hmm. most times, 9 times out of 10, I didn't need to be involved. Mm-hmm. We would have Zoom calls where there was another party involved just so that you can kind of, but then now you say to yourself, yes, obviously you don't want to go through anything like this and not extract lessons, for sure. That's the point of any season that you stumble. You got to realize, okay, why did I stumble and how can I keep myself from stumbling? Mm-hmm. But I think there has to be a clear distinction, because what I don't want to do is offer like a blanket statement and say, yeah, I could have took accountability for it. When we're talking, the things that I'm talking about with defaming, I'm talking about the things that were clearly, objectively false mm-hmm. and malicious in intent. Mm-hmm. That stuff has to live over here. If we can put those stuff over here, then yeah, we can have a conversation about, you know, is there different things that I could have done from a leadership aspect? Absolutely, but it's not just with them. It's just growing as a business. We started in 2022. We went from 300 people in the room to 9,000 in New York.
Wow.
We went from me bringing my own speakers to now me having a sound department.
Yeah.
And we went from renting out a passenger van, taking out the back rows to be able to travel, to having trucks and insurance and then this and then tickets and then mm-hmm. traveling staff and then this and then that. So the company grew so rapidly. And that's the thing that a lot of entrepreneurs can experience. It's like you're growing so rapidly that you don't need, you get in put out fire mode, right? Mm-hmm. There's multiple fire. So I do agree that there are some things and lessons I need to take from this experience, even if that means vetting better mm-hmm. or letting go faster. But again, to be clear, there were certain things that were said that was clearly out, you know, across the line. And those are the things that I outwardly have a problem with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that there was a season, and I'm assuming you were referencing this moment, that during this time of this fallout, you weren't sure if you were going to be able to revive tonight's conversation. Is revive the right word to use? Do you ever feel like, did you ever have a moment where you felt like mm-hmm. the conflict that you were experiencing, and not just with your cast members, but mm-hmm. the perception of the public, you know, from all of this?
Yeah, it was a, yeah.
Was mm-hmm. it more that than anything for you, the perception of the public?
Well, it was multiple things, right? Like, to not try to get too deeply in it, there were multiple things. There were multiple things. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was more so like I had never experienced that type of attempted cancellation thing. I've never experienced that. Like, I've had moments, but nothing to a level where it was personal attacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing I say something wrong on the internet. I've done that thousands of times. Mm-hmm. But when we get into the personal attacks, the personal, he's a this, he's this, and he's this, and he's this, and he's this, and he does this, and he does. And then, again, it's the internet. People ain't vetting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I struggled because I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to come out, but I had to struggle on trying to keep quiet, because every time I did say something, it didn't land. Mm. So that's how poisonous the environment was for me. And you got to think, this has been my baby. Like, this business has been my baby. It's been something that I've put 12 to 14 hours a day in every single day. I don't take off days for the better part of 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to speak to this. This is not about a specific person, but this is how careful people have to be with their businesses, because your connection to it is your connection to it uniquely. You can hire people, you can bring people in, you can have people to support, but your connection to something will probably always be deeper. Mm-hmm. That's why your expectations be so high. That's why you're more driven than the people that necessarily there for, you know, maybe a paycheck or maybe some exposure or whatever the case may be. But when this was happening, I took it hardest because it was like, what am I outside of this?
What do you mean?
Like, because I've sacrificed so much for this business, family. I don't have children. I'm not married yet. Mm-hmm. I'm hyper-focused on it. If I lost this in this moment, what else do I have? Like, and then the money is not the motivating factor. Like, I mean, I'm cool money-wise, but it don't make me no difference. Yeah. Like, that's not why I do it. You know what I'm saying? So I could be like, well, shit, at least I still got... That never came to my mind. It was never like, well, I'm still... Like, no, it was, yo, what am I do if I ain't on stage? What am I gonna do if I'm not creating? And that was the hardest part. I never worried about necessarily the things that I felt were outward lies sticking long, right? Because there are proper channels to handle that. And I knew and I was confident that at some point, the truth about those things in the proper way will come out or people will stop caring. Either way, you know what I'm saying? But being off the road in the spring was tough. Canceling and moving shows was tough. Mm-hmm. Donnie, I ain't never canceled no shows.
Mm-hmm. You canceled shows.
Yeah.
You had shows scheduled.
That I moved to the fall. I ain't never did in 7 years. And then I'm sitting there like, I don't even start shows late.
You do not.
I don't even start shows late. Hey, people out there, hey, we going on without you. Like, and it was just that integrity to the fans. Even the people that, you know, happen to email people and say, hey, your ticket's been moved to the fall. Like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So it was just tough, man. It was tough. But I will say this. I don't want to sit here and have, like, no pity party, though. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you sign up for this and you plan for this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't sign up for certain stuff, but you know that in a journey, there's ups and downs. And this was a down for me. Mm-hmm. But it was a down for me more internally, mm-hmm. emotionally, mm-hmm. conflicting. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I thought long and hard. So mm-hmm. I wanted you to come in and mm-hmm. have a conversation mm-hmm. and not necessarily about the happenings of mm-hmm. what happened, but this podcast is for entrepreneurs. The people who are watching this, they're entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who are starting with that vision that you had more mm-hmm. than 10 years ago for your platform, right? Mm-hmm. And if we are lucky enough to build it big, you're lucky mm-hmm. enough to be the hottest thing in your lane, the hottest mm-hmm. thing in your industry. The truth is you are going to face some hardship. Mm-hmm. You're going to face some scrutiny. You're going to lose team members. I remember letting go of my very first assistant. It just wasn't making the mark for me, but it was a painful, it felt like a breakup, right? Because mm-hmm. I loved her, but I just needed to go in a different direction. And mm-hmm. you'll experience that. And what I'm most interested in here on Full Transparency is three things. Give me three things. You kind of gave two. Give me three things to entrepreneurs, pieces of advice that you would give that says, hey, if you build a big brand, be prepared for this, or this is what, knowing what I know now, this is what I would do differently.
Knowing what I know now, the number one thing I would do is shut the fuck up.
What?
Like, if I could go back, hold on, listen. What I mean is...
What?
Hold on. What I mean is, if I could go back when my little trial started, and okay. I can go back to myself and whisper to myself on January 15th what to do, I would have told myself, don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Trust your team. Mm. Period. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, I think one of the mistakes that we make as entrepreneurs is because we got it on the line. This is my business. This is my livelihood. And we know that we might have a different care for this than everybody else that we trust on our team.
Yeah.
Now we making final calls, right? When we really should have listened to our team. We should have let our team handle things. We should have let processes worked out the best way. But because we interject and we don't trust our team, a lot of times we're not taking the best advice. There were so many people in my corner that said, don't say shit. And I'm thinking I'm knowing better than them. And the times I said something here or said something there or did this particular interview, it didn't help. Mm-hmm. So I would say, trust your team and trust yourself to put people around you that you can trust in moments where you may be compromised. Because there are going to be things that compromise you, whether it's family, whether it's good stuff, whether it's, you know, whatever, whether you're taking a vacation and you got to be gone for 2 weeks. You're going to have to be able to trust people to be able to pick up the ball or get you through a moment. Or in conflict, you're going to have to trust the people that you have around you to help manage that. Mm-hmm. But when you try to sidestep that, sometimes you make not so great decisions. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is save your money.
Like facts.
Hey, let me tell you something. Like facts. Save your money because this is so frustrating. Like, for example, blanket statement, not specifically, but let's just say every time in my entrepreneur life, I've only paid myself enough to live, period. Whether I was making $1,000 for a show, X, Y, and Z, I've always just paid myself and I've always considered that the company's money, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I've always considered that even when you're planning budgets, when you're thinking about this, that, and other, it's like, yo, this amount of money, no matter what, from whatever event, got to go back to here.
Yeah.
Because it's not a matter of if, it's when. When is trials and tribulations? You couldn't have told me that this was a trial I was going to face. Yeah. You couldn't have told me.
Yeah.
You couldn't have told me. So when you save your money, you know what I'm saying? Now it gives you that cushion to be able to weather the storm, right? Absolutely. Because you have the umbrella, you got the rain boots, and you got the coat. So save your money. That would be the biggest. That'd be number one thing. that's the biggest thing. And then I would also say, give yourself space to make mistakes. Like coming out the storm, I now look back in hindsight and be like, bruh, if I would have did this, I should have pivoted this. But then you got to give yourself the space and the grace and be like, you know what? I'm human. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we think we're superhuman. And we are somewhat, right? Mm-hmm. Because we do things most people can't do. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're still human. We still miss things. We still make mistakes. We still make oversights. And so now you can't just beat yourself up about it. You just got to move forward, get to the next.
Speaking of moving forward, mm-hmm. that's the season you're in right mm-hmm. now. So we're rebuilding the uh-huh. Tonight's Conversation brand, right? And to that point, so many brands have had their mm-hmm. moment in mm-hmm. the hot seat, so to speak. I even had my own moment in the hot seat before. And in that moment, for entrepreneurs, if you have it, like the biggest piece of advice that I can give you is to move through it, navigate through it, figure out a way to get around it, because that season, if you're a good person, and when I went through what I was going through, I know I'm solid that I'm a really good person and I'm doing good business. I know that you will make it through that season. You just gotta maybe pause, which mm-hmm. you took a pause, but you have to continue to pick the pieces up and start moving and rebuild like almost immediately. You can't really sit out too long. You gotta keep up momentum.
Can I speak to that though?
Yeah.
Like I paused from doing those shows.
Okay.
But this has been the hardest I've worked probably ever. Mm-hmm. It might not have been physically, mm-hmm. but the mental work, the planning work, the navigating from the behind the scenes side, mm-hmm. like, so I guess what I mean is like, even if there isn't an opportunity to continue in the normal way in which you can continue in a season, mm-hmm. there's other ways you can shift your focus that once you get back on track, you've laid things. Like I've done something like, as you would think it's really small, but it's really, to me, I'm really proud of. I went and labeled all my clips, filed them, had my team go ahead and who's featured in every clip, ranked the clip 1 through 5. And you would think that that's a small thing.
Oh, no. Zell, we know.
But
that's no small thing.
I went back on the app. We redid stuff. We got to do things. Like, it's so many other things that I'm like, okay, even in a season where touring, we had to take a little break from touring, how can I rechannel that energy into getting systems together, working through artist contracts, working through this, that, and other, like working with legal. So there's other things you can be doing during the time. I think oftentimes we think that just because we can't do this one thing at this time or this isn't working right, that we can't shift our energy other places.
Right.
Because here's the thing, again, whether it's controversy, whether it's just a slow season, whether tariffs is fucking it up, fucking your shit up, you can't mm-hmm. order from China right now, mm-hmm. there is something else you can be doing now okay. to be building things stronger for when you come back into season.
That's good.
And lastly, I do want to say this part. I don't want to sound like an OG, but...
give OG vibes.
Yeah, but... not on the business side, but on the internet personality side.
Okay.
Man, I done been doing this thing so long that it's refreshing. It's starting to be refreshing. Even though I don't like how it happened, mm-hmm. I don't like some of the lies that were told, and we ain't gonna get in all that. So I want to put that in perspective.
Okay.
But it feels good to now do videos where everybody don't think you perfect. Cause that's a hard thing to carry. Yeah. Now I ain't that, but but like I'm not that, but like bro, I'm a regular human being. I done had a life, you know. I've made mistakes. I'm 36. Mm-hmm. You know, Donnie, I got married when I was 19. We split when I was 21. Mm-hmm. Like that didn't work out right. Like I've had a girlfriend here that relationship didn't work out. Like I've slept with a lot of women in my life. I've fucked some people over, some people fucked me over. I'm a regular human being that has made mistakes in my life. And it's like, up until this point, I haven't had to have people view me more than that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, they viewed me as this character online of, oh, no, he's just the perfect guy. And that, for a person, that's hard to carry. Like, now, I think I'm a pretty decent guy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think I'm a good man in spirit, but the idea that anybody is perfect, the idea that anybody is without a flaw, that's a hard thing to carry. So it's been refreshing now, just like, yo, bruh, all right, don't call me no relationship guru. Just a podcaster. I just want to entertain you. I make sense sometimes. If you like what we do, fine. Yeah. Like, that whole pressure was a lot. So when I think about some of the things that I was most, that I had to do most meditation on was accepting that within myself and accepting that, you know, although I'm not a normal human being and that I have social responsibility because I'm a social influencer, I do like that people know that I'm normal now, just like them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. I can talk a whole bunch of good shit about everybody else's relationship. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm necessarily perfect in mine. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that there is always a disconnect, right? Like, it's just because you play basketball good don't mean you can be an analyst of basketball.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't play basketball don't mean you can't be a talented analyst. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this intersection in my life is weird. Like, I feel like I'm playing with house money. I feel like I'm just ready to take over the world with niggas knowing that I'm a regular motherfucker.
A regular person. So yeah. the ship falls down mm-hmm. in your world. That's how it feels in that time. There's entrepreneurs mm-hmm. out there who hadn't gotten started because they're afraid of a moment like that. They've mm-hmm. got some really polarizing ideas. They're afraid of a moment like that. But mm-hmm. there are people who are watching this whose ship fell down and they never picked it back up because people are afraid of scrutiny and judgment. Talk to me about what the rebrand looks like.
Well, two things. The scrutiny is 10 people in your comment section.
But it feels major.
Yes. But that's because we have trained ourselves to pay more attention to the negativity than the positivity.
Okay.
This whole conversation we talking about for real, is about my perspective of people that really wasn't fans of me in the first place like that. Mm. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then there's a few people that maybe is disappointed because they don't know the whole story, but they'll come around. But the vast majority of the people just care about if you're going to help their lives out. Are you going to affect them in a positive way. Okay. Is your product good?
Do you believe tonight's conversation platform is helping people and impacting them in a positive way?
Yes.
Tell me how. Because we see the clips online. People don't get to see the full conversations
even,
that happen.
Even the clips online.
Okay.
Even the clips online. This ain't, because let me be very fair. We're an entertainment company. We do live shows that you come for 2 or 3 hours. You can forget about your problems. Mm-hmm. For $60, you can come. You can laugh. You can dance in your seat. You can have a mature time out where you ain't got to worry about fights and this and that and the other. You sit there. You get some what I would consider grown conversations. Mm-hmm. And we do have people that's gonna give you some tidbits. But this is, you're not going to the Excel character conference that's a 3-hour, 3-day, 8-hour intensive on how to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're coming here to be entertained.
Okay.
We have a show, the clips. So when we say, are we making things better? I'm like, yeah, because the idea of it is, can we give a different entertainment alternative that is not, I don't want to call it no network, but not throwing drinks at each other, not fighting on Ratchet TV, not mm-hmm. this. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's not buffoonery. Mm-hmm. It's actually people up there that's qualified or skillful enough to talk some common sense to people. Mm-hmm. People go ask some crazy questions, but it ain't like Jerry Springer. You know what I'm saying? So like, it is this mode where it's like, okay, I get the expectation is that, you know, we're a self-help seminar, but that is not what we are.
That's not what the Tonight's Conversation platform is. If you are looking to go to the woo-woo, rah-rah self-help conference, that's not that. It is a mix of entertainment, mm-hmm. and people see 30-second, 60-second, maybe 90-second clips, and they don't get the full scope. But on the panel, historically, there's always someone who's going to... There's going to be the funny person who's going to give a funny perspective. Uh-huh. There's going to be the deep person who gives the deep perspective. There's going to be an actual therapist who gives a therapist a perspective from a therapist perspective. So I think it's really, I think it's responsible that you do that. And sometimes people don't get to see all of the different perspectives because you're building a business and you put the ones out that's going to draw the most attention.
But I also would challenge, that a little bit. I think overwhelmingly our clips are positive and responsible in nature. And what I mean by that is most likely the ones that are, from my experience, because I post them, is somebody talking about emotional intelligence, somebody talking about healing after heartbreak. Like a lot of our clips. Now, do we have certain clips that are energy? If somebody, you was there in Dallas, somebody come to the mic and say,
"Yo,
I love my husband." I mean, hold on. I don't know if my husband loved me, but I know my boyfriend do.
Right.
She said that's her experience.
With her husband in the audience.
And that is the part of the show where, let me tell you this. I love that shit. And let me tell you why. Everybody can talk about the prettiness of a relationship and relationship problems. And everybody can talk about that side of it. But there are... I love when people are honest enough to come to the mic and talk about some stuff that also really happens. Mm. And you never get that. When I used to cast for my card game shoots, people would come and they would skip over the questions that talked about infidelity because they don't want to present themselves like that. But that's something that most people in this world have experienced, some type of infidelity. Mm-hmm. Most people in this world have experienced some type of embarrassment. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, you leaving me for the personal trainer? You said it was just your trainer?
Yeah.
And so those are also real moments as well. And I think what we end up doing is we'll joke about it, we'll have fun, because at the same time, you got to keep 4,000 people entertained. But then you'll have those moments where you get that 90 seconds of real talk to that guest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And that is the part that make the clip go. It's if she says that, and then now you have Tripp coming and being like, "Yo, you wildin'. You want us to make an excuse for you or to teach you how to treat better? You're married. Go home to your husband." Yeah. And that's what you need to hear.
Yeah.
Or somebody came in Dallas. You was in Dallas where she was a proud side chick.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Kitty go and be like, "Yo, blah, 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 blah." That is, I do think that's elevating. We started, and my bad, I'm talkative. we started more gender war-y back in like 2022. I will say that.
Mm-hmm. And I hate that perspective. That was like, I had my own feelings about tonight's conversation, the podcast, before actually being on cast, right? Because one thing that I always say is that I don't want to be a part of conversations that are about putting a man against a woman. Mm-hmm. And I had my own interaction when we did a studio shoot where there was a guy there who, what I will say, the topic of the conversations that we were scheduled to speak about were not the things that the conversation evolved into, right? There was a person who continued to push a narrative. Yeah. And I was really angry about it. I'm like, I don't want to shoot with him anymore. I don't want to have these conversations. I was angry about it because I tried to stay away from the divisive conversations. But what I will say is I'm really glad that the moments happened because to your point, those clips are still going viral today. I'm still getting notifications about those specific clips every single day in the airport, in the mall, everywhere. Women stop me and say, thank you for being a voice. Like, we don't know. Like, I get so many women who say things like, I've been talked to like that and I shrunk because I didn't know how to respond. I wasn't confident in my voice. And thank you for being a voice that stood up to this nasty narrative. And so to that point, it's really important. Also, I know so many people always say, I get this one too, are the questions real? I went to the two live shows that I've done, and I've seen Ace both times behind the scenes. I don't know where the how the questions come in, but the audience gives the questions, and I see you behind the scenes with the cards that they submit, and you're going through. Now, he is going to pick the good questions that he wants to ask, but are these questions real? Are these plants in the audience? No, y'all. People really be coming in there ready to expose all of their business.
And that's why I said, like, for me, even as just the producer of the content, the responsibleness that I've always done or I've grown to do a lot better job of it is not presenting a alternative outlook, I'll call it that way, without a counter.
Explain that.
For example, let's say your clip, let's say the male's perspective wasn't as common, right? Or universally accepted. I'm not gonna say it's wrong, maybe wrong to me, but it's not as common. The responsibleness of the brand is putting the other perspective, which was your reverse perspective, in that same video, and not leaving it to where people, I'ma just put this salacious opinion out without a counter, you gotta go to the episode to watch it.
Right.
Because that's where you lead to people, that to me is their irresponsibleness. So even a lot of the times when we have those couch discussions or in studio, you'll see I can put one perspective and then another perspective, right? Because here's the thing, it's gonna be some people that agree with that man's perspective. And it's going to be somebody that agrees with this, but you present both and then you give the watcher the opportunity to draw their own conclusions.
Yeah.
And what I didn't want to do was turn into an echo chamber. And that's why I feel like the success, that's what I feel contributed to the success of tonight's conversation is I booked a lot of people that I didn't agree with their opinions.
But you like that.
I like it because it fosters great dialogue. I can't like,
I get you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't bring six people that all feel the same way. Yeah. Then I might as well just did it myself. So then you just, and then here's the one thing I know. That guy's opinion that maybe you didn't like, there is probably a lot of men that just agree with his opinion, his outlook. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I wanted to represent, I wanted to represent other people's perspective. Let me tell you why. Bruh, I got called simp and panderer so much that when I created tonight's conversation, I wanted to go out of my way to make sure that that community felt like that they were represented on tonight's conversation.
By the red pill, you mean the red pill community specifically?
Yeah.
Why they need representation? Why do they need representation?
Just like they need representation, just like the feminist community needs representation, just like the independent woman community, just like the pick me community. Everybody needs some representation.
I think anybody who has an agenda to divide men against women, men from women, and specifically Black men and Black women. They don't need representation. They need exposure.
Let me tell you where I disagree a little bit. Confession time.
You used to be one of them?
It's not that I used to be. It's a lot of the things they say makes sense. And I can relate to some of the things they say. Hear me out.
Oh,
hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out.
For example.
For example, when Kevin Samuels was saying a lot of the stuff he said, I disagree with the way he was delivering the message. I did not disagree with the message in general. Mm-hmm. I didn't disagree that there is sometimes some unrealistic expectations that women have. Mm-hmm. I didn't disagree with that.
Well, that's not red pill.
I didn't disagree with being careful about marriage, not going in with rose-colored tinted glasses. I didn't disagree with a lot of those things. A lot of times there are responsible people that deliver messages to that community in a responsible way that lands to that community. Mm-hmm. That I feel like, if you're a woman, that ain't for you. But then also, I'm not for some of the men. So, like, if delivered in a responsible way, I do feel like that there's good points.
Well, and that's what makes it red pill. Mm-hmm. This is not a responsible or respectful delivery. It's meant to be polarizing and demeaning against a particular group of people, Black women specifically. I'm talking about the passport bros. Don't marry Black. This is why you need to every single time a Black woman communicates a need or an expectation, instead of saying, hey, let's really dig down into why you have that expectation. It's, oh, don't mess with them. Just go to Brazil, go to Colombia, go do these things. You know the opinions that I'm talking about.
But can I also say this? Mm-hmm. Can I also say this? Yeah. And I'm glad they came on the platform, because those people, the only time they probably encountered, I'm not going to say the only time, I'm going to say the time I know on record that they actually encountered women that wasn't 23-year-old women that couldn't put their words together to challenge them was on our platform.
Yeah, for sure. And so, to my point, they need exposure, not representation.
Well, also, I think is an education level, an education opportunity. None of those episodes that I can think of off my head, I can think of a few guys that I can think of in my life that was on TC, they never really did well, because not the episodes didn't get numbers, but it's not like they overpowered or was able to convince a group of grown adult people that can think with their words that what they said made sense. And I think it was refreshing, to your point, to actually see that person being challenged in a way that they're not challenged on their own platform, because they probably purposely evade women that can articulate well. Mm-hmm. So if it were me putting those people on the platform with 21-year-old women like that, now that would be different.
Okay.
So it was always appealing to me, and it's probably the first time I've said it out loud, it was always appealing to me to see how guys like that operated when they can truly be challenged. And right now I think they like 0-for-4 on the platform. I think there's, because the guys that do well, that do both ways, I wouldn't even say is red pilly. Like, you know, Tripp was always balanced.
Tripp gave really sound advice, and he gave really
but,
great.
And he spoke to men, but in a way that's digestible. Trill is balanced.
Trill is great.
Even say, I don't know if you met SD, but SD, mm-mm, he leans more over here, but in a way that's still respectful, and he can see both sides type thing. So,
who's been some of your favorite cast members?
Kitty.
Okay. Why?
Huh?
Why?
Interesting story. Kitty, I wanted her to be on the first tour that we shot with Tonight's Conversation, but she wasn't able to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was really, really upset about it, because Tripp and Kitty was on our show called Relationship 101. So we had Uncut, and then we had Relationship 101. We shot both those seasons the first year before we started the tour. And then when we started the tour, I was like, okay, our Uncut crew, we got the pepper. Mm-hmm. But then we needed the balancing out. So that's why I reached out to Tripp and Kitty. Okay. Unfortunately, Kitty couldn't do that first season. Mm-hmm. But she's always been, I mean, from year one, mm-hmm. somebody I was like, the way she can articulate, you can tell that she's somewhat, I don't know if she's a preacher's kid, but she's something close.
Kitty has a delivery that is outstanding.
And it's commanding. When mm-hmm. And when I watch her, I stop. Even as somebody that's picking the clips and watching episodes, anytime she talks on a platform, I stop. And it draws me
Kitty
in.
Kitty is like, she sways in her chair. Yeah. And she's like listening. And she's like, let me tell you something, baby. Mm-hmm.
Now, outside of, so like Kitty, obviously Tripp was one of my favorites. Kitty, Tripp, Keita obviously was one of my favorites.
I enjoy Keita.
Keita's
funny.
Yeah,
Keita like, to me is yeah. the funny, witty comeback.
You know what's funny though? Everybody used to feel like Keita, all the cast members felt like Keita was my favorite. They felt like it was some favoritism and all mm-hmm. that different stuff. Everybody, but like Keita was, I mean, so important to the brand. Like, although this drama shit is happening, talent-wise, mm-hmm. like our chemistry, me and her's chemistry together, just joking on stage, like, I would say that. Now, outside of like, you know, obviously the main people, if I go to like what dark horse favorite I have as just a watcher, not like as a person, as a watcher, Mike.
Just Mike the Poet. I like just, I had a chance to meet him for the first time at the Atlanta situation, and he is so laid back. Mm-hmm. He's like a silent assassin with his work. He's just gonna sit back, and when he speaks, it's important.
He's like, his delivery, his storytelling, like you have so many people that are willing to talk about, like just give straight advice. Mm-hmm. It's rare that you have people like, I'm gonna use my situations as case studies. Mm-hmm. So he's that person, and he's that like that grounded, real talk voice. I'm not trying to even give you advice. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I would say him, and then that would probably be
faves.
Faves as like if I was in the audience watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kitty. Yep. Those. And then. Hmm. Yeah, that would off the top of my head. Yep.
So it would be fair to say that even in spite of all the drama, you value and appreciate the contributions of the people who are no longer moving forward.
I would even go further to say this. Up until January 15th, mm-hmm. I thought I was friends with that person. Like, I still, through it all, I know we talk about this, but through it all, I still got love for what we were able to accomplish mm-hmm. in the time that we spent together.
Yeah.
Although things went a little sideways in this season, it doesn't diminish how I felt about those people in the moments in which we were experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got to think, you're on a road with people for 2 years straight. Like, you know what I mean? Even little things you don't even think about, like just chilling after a show, 2 a.m. in the lobby, all just shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
Playing spades in L.A. at the Roots, at the BET Award. Like, all those things, it's like you... So it's always, even if people have, like, we have separated some of the, you know, because, you know, somebody want a different opportunity, even if it was no drama involved at all, it still would be tough and grievous because, you know, you would miss that person on the road.
I think that's big of you. And mm-hmm. that said, you know, I told you I didn't want to touch on the drama, uh-huh. but I think everybody's platform involved now. Mm-hmm. I think what's important, the important next step is everybody really gets clear. Everybody involved mm-hmm. gets clear on what they want mm-hmm. for themselves
yeah.
and go get that shit yeah. done. Go get it. Go yeah. everybody, go get it done. All right, you moved to Atlanta. We're wrapping this up. Let me say this before I ask this question. Mm-hmm. The next time I'm on set, mm-hmm. as long-winded as you are, I gotta have a free pass on hushing me. I got to have a free pass on you shutting me down and hushing me. Because he answered every question with 10-minute responses.
Yeah, I told you in the beginning I was talking to you.
I just need one free pass. One free pass. Because what you also said was, cut me off. And then when I cut you off, you're like, wait, let me just get this out real quick. So I'm about to ask you this now. You're single. You ready to mingle, Ace?
I'm mingling.
Oh, you mingling?
I'm mingling.
Okay, I love that. Tell me, being in the space that you're in, now having conversations with all these different personalities, men who are giving their advice about how relationships work, women and seeing women, you've had plenty of women come across your stage. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, is there anything about relationships and your thought about being in one that has changed over time, seeing what you see now and having this seat from this perspective? You're looking into the audience of all these women. They tell you their most intimate details. They get on and they confess stories on camera. Does it change anything about how you feel about pursuing real love?
No.
Mm-mm. Are you ready to pursue real love? Like, I'm talking about
real,
faithful, committed.
Yo, I want to clear this up because this has been some misconceptions.
I'm not talking about that.
Hold on. That's not that. But okay. I'm saying I had did this pod where I was talking about how I was like in this 7-year relationship. I was in a relationship. I knew this person for 7 years. We were in a committed relationship, official, for about 4 of those years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Towards the tail end of the 4, like let's say year 3, year 4, I knew I wanted to marry her. We had talks about being married and getting married.
Okay.
It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Mm-hmm. I had identified the summer of 24 as being a time that I was going to propose and then start planning that wedding. We had went through a season of tonight's conversation where from 22 to that time that I'm talking about, it was 40 cities, 30 cities, 35 cities. It was so on that I was so secure there, and I thought we were on the same page with that, that it was more about let's pick a time where it's best for us. You got to think, before that, we had COVID. So COVID happened. So let's say COVID is the first 2021. Tonight's conversation happened. So I was locked in, even when, you know, I started to realize there were problems in our relationship, and the question came up about, and I'm like, if marriage is the thing, yeah, I'll marry you. I want to marry you. This is not even a thing where I'm asking you to marry me because I think you're leaving. Mm-hmm. I thought we was on the same page with this. So when it was interesting because I didn't say all of those things, people were like, you know, assuming that I was just drinking. No, we had intentional talks about marriage. We were moving towards marriage. I was in the season of marriage.
Yeah.
I wanted to start having children. The most hurtful part about that relationship is the fact that I went from 27 now to 35, now re-entering at 35.
Re-entering the dating market at
35. Yeah, and I'm about to be 36. And it's like, I wanted to have children by now. Mm. I wanted to be married by now. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I didn't have the desire or I still don't have the desire. The issue now is getting to a place with someone where I feel comfortable proposing those ideas to them and mm-hmm. feel comfortable accepting their proposal for it. Mm. And I realize hopefully it doesn't take as long as it did with my previous relationship because I'm not in building mode per se and she's not in building mode. Like, but it's not like I'm a person that's anti-relate. I was just in one. Yeah. And I wanted to be married.
Well, because I know mm-hmm. A little bit about mm-hmm. how that relationship affected you. Mm-hmm. That's what are you in a season now coming out of that? Because a lot of times the misconception with men or anyone is that when you're coming out of a situation where maybe there was some heartbreak involved and mm-hmm. disappointment involved, you're ready. You just moved to Atlanta where the players play, all right? Are you in one woman mindset, or are you looking to play? What should the ladies expect from you?
Regardless of where I'm at, as far as one woman or not, or relationship or not, I'm not ready to play.
Okay.
Like, honestly, I'm over that particular season in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm in a season where, you know, protecting my energy is paramount. Mm-hmm. So I'm not playing regardless. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be in a committed relationship, or I may not be in a, that's person dependent. Like, okay. If I meet the right person, I am open to it.
Okay.
But what I am not doing is spreading myself thin. Like, I got too much stuff to do. And if I share my time or my energy with somebody, it got to be worth it. Mm. Period. The plan thing, like, I've been here, what, 4-3 months? I ain't been to not one club yet.
You haven't?
No.
That's not true. We went to the club. The group of us went to the club.
That's not the club.
That's the club.
No, that's a different type of club.
Oh, gosh.
And I had to be dragged out. So it wasn't even like, ain't nobody ever got a text from me, man, let's go outside. Like, I don't do none of that. I go to the bar by myself. I go to games by myself. I go.
You do. You're a loner, though. Since I've met you.
Exactly. So
you're always by yourself.
So playing is not something like as much as I like having sex, I like having sex as much as everybody else.
Okay.
I don't like what comes with sex, which is
responsibility
and problems sometimes. So I have to vet that this person isn't going to bring problems in my life. And if you're not going to bring problems in my life, then we might be able to kick it and get down like
See,
that.
See, I don't like that. I don't like that language. I don't like that the way that you worded that, because it's like, as soon as I have sex with a woman, she starts to insert these problems. You mean she's looking for accountability? She's looking for you to be reliable. She's looking for good communication. She's looking for consistency. And because of those things now, and she's enforcing that upon you, now you see it as problematic. Typical story. Wrap this thing on up. I don't even want to hear what you have to
tomato,
say.
But no. Tomato, tomato. If we not on the same page, then that's what I mean. So right. Like, tomato, tomato. I ain't out here trying to play. Now, obviously, you know, I would love to be in a relationship with someone of value and that I rock with.
What's your type?
Somebody of value and that I rock with.
Ace, what's your type? Give me the avatar. Who is Mrs. Metaphor?
Somebody I rock with and I got value. Like, I don't have like a type. I just, there's somebody that I rock with that's supportive. So that, and I guess I'll just, and then it's over time. Like, I can have a physical type, but mm-hmm. I mean, it normally take me about 3, 4, 5, 6 months to really see if I rock with you like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't like a person that's going, I'm not jealous. I'm not going to compare in your time. Like, if we kick it here, there, cool. Like, I'm not who you with. I'm not doing none of that. But if we get to a point where I'm like, yo, let's be really intentional about that, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, this month marks the year. It's been a year since I've been out of my last relationship. So now I'm finally feeling like, you know what I'm saying? Like, emotionally in a space where I'm like disconnected.
Yeah.
From
the last relationship.
The difficult part, not to give too much on this one, but the difficult part about my last relationship isn't the relationship stuff. Like, sometimes what keep me up at night isn't anything that happened inside our relationship on a relational space. It's some other stuff. So I'm dealing with that stuff, trying to make sure I flush that out and make sure that I don't bring that type of maybe distrust into another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more on that. It's not like I'm connected to her still. So I'm in a space where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to start trying to see what's going on.
I've offered this to you privately.
I do it.
No, I don't know that you do it.
Just because I don't tell you don't mean I don't do it.
I'm offering it to you publicly.
But we good. I'm doing it.
What am I talking about?
We know. I got sessions.
Give me a... Come on, man. You've been going to your sessions? That makes me so happy. Ace, I wish you the best of success.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's conversation is going in a new direction. It's going in whatever direction you tell it to go, because mm-hmm. you are a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to everything that the show is bringing. I'm going to close out with this one question because it keeps coming up. I'm looking at it on the live here.
Mm-hmm.
People are asking, and I see this all the time in the comments. You're the creator of tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. You're also a talent.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people say, I wish we could hear from the other people more than we hear from Ace. How, as a creator and a talent, do you handle now, moving forward, putting other people on the platform, even if it means that sometimes they can be perceived on your platform as bigger than you?
Okay, it's two parts then.
Okay.
First part is, if people feel like I talk too much on the platform.
Say it with your chest.
You saying that now because you ain't seen it without me on stage, okay? What I mean like that is, like, I mean, how do I put it? There are a lot of times I can't force people to talk on stage. Like it'd be a question, I look over, nobody really got nothing to say, nobody jump out, and you have to, as the moderator, be able to fill in space so it's no dead time.
Yeah.
Then you give people time to think of what their thoughts are. It's more to it. Now, again, if we're in the studio, there are episodes I don't talk at all because the conversation's just going.
Right.
So it's something that I can work on. I'm a talker.
It's something that you should work on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the less I talk, the more talent I have around me at that time.
Okay.
If I feel like, if I'm talking a lot, it's because I feel like maybe...
Ooh, not maybe the people around you aren't going to contribute well to the conversation.
No, it's not even the people, it's the subject. Like, for example, if somebody comes to the mic and they asked about emotional intelligence, and let's say the people I have on the panel at that time are not really that versed on it. And you can just tell initially by the way that they don't react. I don't want them to be forced to talk about something that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want them to have to do that. So I'll take that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if I know somebody asks about side chicks, I know who to go to. You know what I'm saying? So it's about knowing what talent you have, mm-hmm. knowing where they're strong at, where they can improve, and then making sure you don't put people in a place where they're not going to be successful.
Okay.
Like, I do questions and answers all the time. The second part of your question is, that's the goal. I hope people come and be bigger stars than me on the platform.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to find the newest, hottest relationship influencer, the newest heartthrob. Like, you want to continue to find that new person. And there's only so many times the main reason you're going to come to an Ace Metaphor show is to see Ace Metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
I done been to these cities 17 times. So you need new people. You need fresher faces.
Yeah.
And if you can tell by my platform, it's not like when I post me on Tonight's Conversation, the clips do bad. My shit be going viral,
too. Oh, they blow up.
But as you can tell, I prioritize posting other people more than myself.
You do.
I don't, when it comes to this, no matter what people say, I don't really have an ego when it comes to, like, that portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
All right, you guys, this has been another amazing episode of Full Transparency. Mm-hmm. The Tonight's Conversation tour is back on,
mm-hmm.
and there are shows happening right now, right mm-hmm. now, right now, right now, right now. Go to Tonight's Conversation. What's the website? I was going to send them to the Instagram, but let's just send them to the website.
Tonight'sConversation.com.
Let's go to Tonight'sConversation.com and get your tickets. I'll be on some shows. I'm super excited about that. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Mm. What did you take from this conversation as an entrepreneur who has had some struggles, faced some challenges, looking to rebuild, do all the things? What's one piece of key information that you've learned from Ace's journey that you are definitely going to implement into your own? I'll see y'all next week. Bye. Mm.